Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're studying what Jesus taught while he was in Galilee. In Matthew 4:19, at the time that Jesus learned of John the Baptist's imprisonment, he departed into Galilee. And in Matthew chapter 19, the Bible tells us he departed out of Galilee. So these early chapters of Matthew are recording what Jesus did during that time period that he was in Galilee. In chapter 5, in verse number 9, as a part of the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I pray for your help to help me that I can help your people. Give us the understanding of your word and how we apply it in our life that we might please you and might accomplish the work that you've given us to do. And bless your people today for their faithfulness in coming. Bless those at home that are watching. And give us all understanding of the scriptures that we might be better servants for you. Thank you for your love and mercy. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The word peacemaker is an adjective as it is used from the Greek language that's 11 letters long. And there's no reason for me to try to pronounce it. First of all, I can't. And secondly, you'll never hear it again except by a preacher preaching on this text or something. It's not something you're going to use in your daily life. And on top of all that, it simply means exactly what peacemakers means. It means to make peace. And Jesus wants us to be peacemakers, not troublemakers. I've been in situations with Christians over my 40-something plus years as a pastor that I've seen some folks cause trouble in churches. I've seen some that I've known of have been members of churches, 3, 4, 5 different churches, and they caused trouble in every church they were in. They were troublemakers, they weren't peacemakers. And God wants us not to be troublemakers, but to be peacemakers. It's used of the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." It goes on to say, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Through his death on Calvary's cross, Christ made reconciliation between us and God possible. Why was there a need for reconciliation between us and God? Because our sin has separated us and offended our God, and Christ paid the price for our sin. Christ, who made peace for us, grants us to be peacemakers. Now that we have peace with ourselves and peace with God, we can help make peace with others and help them to make peace with God. It's important that we don't allow ourselves to be one who causes people to be offended with the Bible or offended with church. If you give them the gospel message and you give it in the right way, if they're offended with the scripture, there's nothing we can do about that. That's between them and God. But our mannerisms and our efforts, we should be careful of not to turn people away and not to offend people. We should always try to leave an unbeliever in the state of mind that they wouldn't mind talking to somebody again about the subjects of the Bible and salvation. In 1968, I read that a newspaper reported that there have been many wars in the world from the time that records were kept until 1968. There'd been 14,553 wars. Men are at war all the time. Jesus said, don't expect there to be absolute peace in the world until I come and rule and reign. He said, there will be wars and rumors of wars until the end of time. We have been at war with Islam for many years now. And Islam is at war with the world. They are Muslim people in their religion, but they don't get along with each other. The various groups of Muslims, the Sunnis and the Shiites and the groups of them, don't get along with each other. They have wars against each other. But what they usually agree on is they hate Israel and they hate America. They hate us because of the wars that we've been involved in and their terrorist activities we continue to try to put a stop to around the world. All of us would love to have peace and love to be so that we can sleep without fears and worry of being murdered or bombs going off or anything of that nature. And there is a way for peace through God, and it's by knowing Christ as our Savior, and then we can be enabled to make peace with other people. First of all, we look at the meaning of peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and that is a greeting among the Jewish people. For them to say shalom one to another, it means it is a wish for peace. It is a wish for the one receiving the greeting to have God's well-being upon them. It means to have peace from your enemies and peace with God. And it means that your struggles will end and you will be in prosperity. Now that's all wrapped up in that word when the Jewish people say to each other, shalom. In the Muslim world, it is pronounced more like Salem, salam. And they say, salam aleikum. And they return that greeting to them. Peace is sometimes defined as the absence of conflict and the absence of strife, whether it be with man or with God. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible defines the sins of man. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All men outside knowing Christ as Savior are sinners and guilty before God, and they're already judged and already condemned for an eternity in hell unless they receive Christ as Savior and have their sins washed away. And in chapter 3, verse 17 of Romans, the scripture says, the way of peace have they not known. Man struggles with himself, man struggles with other men, and man struggles with God. We need peace, and that comes through knowing Christ, knowing your sins have been dealt with, and knowing that you have a home in heaven with the Lord. The Bible says in the scripture in James chapter 4 that to be a friend to the world is to be an enemy to God. We don't want to line ourselves up with God's enemies. We want to line ourselves up with God's people. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. There's a war. There's a separation between unsaved man and God because of sin. But God has made peace possible. I'm going to look at several verses. If you want to turn, that's fine. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 gives us a definition. It says, therefore, based upon everything previously recorded in Romans, and especially these few verses previous to the beginning of chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So God has granted us the opportunity to be saved, and by being saved, we are declared righteous before God. That's what justification means. And to be just before God is to be righteous, and that grants us peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17 through 21. Many of you could quote verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To make peacemakers, God has granted us what we need. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God declares that we who are saved have been reconciled to God through Christ, are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives to the world of reconciling men to Christ. It has been committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have the gospel message to share with unbelievers, that if they believe, they can be reconciled to God just like we were reconciled to God. In our world, there are ambassadors that serve the United States in other countries, and they represent our country and they represent our president to those nations. And they are there to be peacekeepers and peacemakers, not to be troublemakers or cause wars. And the same thing is true as ambassadors for Christ as Christians, that we are to be peacemakers with the world around us. In Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, the Bible deals with the issue of the Jew and the Gentile. There was division there. Even among those Jews who got saved, they had a difficulty acknowledging the Gentiles could be saved and receive the Holy Spirit and be treated as equal church members without some separation and division from them. And so the Lord dealt with this through Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two or twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So in the New Testament church age that we still live in today, Jew or Gentile, we're to be one in the same church when we receive Christ as our Savior and follow him in his example of baptism in the symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then we are united together in one body to be one people. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your language differences are. Now that's why sometimes we have a separate congregation of other folk from other nations, because we don't speak the same language. But if we speak the same language, There's no reason for that division. We're to be one in Christ. Male, female, Jew, or Gentiles, one when you know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we can have peace between us as brothers in the Lord. Many of you men have served in the military, and maybe some ladies. And serving in the military, you become a brotherhood with those that you serve with. I often wear a Marine hat or a Vietnam hat, and people will come up to me and say, "Thank you for your service." You know, that didn't happen until 9/11 happened, when they bombed the towers in New York. When I came back from Vietnam, you were more likely to get spit on in the airport than you were for somebody to say thank you for your service. But even yesterday, I took the trash off to the trash area. There was a guy there who had an Army hat on, and he came up to me and patted me on the back and said, "Thank you for your service, brother." And he couldn't tell by that hat, a Vietnam hat, he couldn't tell what branch of the military I was in. And so I appreciate the recognition. I appreciate the brotherhood. And he happened to be a black gentleman, and I called him brother because we were brothers in arms, not brothers of race. But if he's a Christian, we're brothers in the Lord. Doesn't matter what race or background that we are from. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it very clear that all men are of one blood. God created man, Adam, and created woman for Adam. And then they had children. And all of us are descendants of them. By the way, it was because of them that we are sinners as well. But Christ came to pay the price for our sins. So we were all sinners no matter what race, and we can all be saved no matter what race. I love the book of Revelation where it talks about singing praise to God up there in heaven, and it says there will be men of every tribe and of every language and every race, and they will be together and praise God together as new creatures in Christ. Now, God builds a bridge to those who've been offended by breaking His laws and His commands. God makes peace available, but it is peace on God's terms. Only through Christ can men be saved. Some are caught up in other religions, and they work very hard. They pay great prices to try to earn favor with God through their religion and their works. But the only way to have favor with God is receiving Christ as your Savior. It's not by man-made religion, and it's not by works. It's only through Christ. Now, we're looking at the meaning of peace. I remember in 1975 when my wife and I got saved on a Sunday morning in church, and we went home to our house that day. And we sat down, and before we sat down, I got under the cabinet and poured out all the alcohol I had in the house. Nobody had to tell me that was wrong. I knew it as an unsaved man. I tried to lay it down several times, but I just didn't have the strength. But that day, God took it away from me, and I poured it down the drain. And every time I was ever tempted to think about it again, I said, "Well, it went down the drain. It's gone." We taught our daughter like that with the pacifier. We were long ready for her to give up a pacifier, and she wouldn't give it up. We put hot sauce on it, stuck it in her mouth and grinned, and just kept right on sucking on it. But one day, she threw it in the trash can and said, "Nasty." And then she wanted it, and I said, "No, it's in the trash can. Remember, you can't get it back out of there." And she stopped using it then. So then she started sucking her thumb. I think I'd rather she had the pacifier, you know. The meaning of peace. Secondly, the maker of peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 through 22, the scripture is clear about the Lord Jesus Christ being the maker of peace for us. In Colossians 1 and verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," referring to Christ, "should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So Christ is the peacemaker, the one who made peace. In the Old Testament, before the birth of Christ, in the New Testament, Jehovah Shalom appeared in the time of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse number 24. He is the God of peace. And he taught the people that when their sins separated them from God, this is what God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. God would have men to turn from their sin and be saved and have the peace of God. At Christ's birth, the angels declared the message to the shepherds, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Because the child that was born that day, as Isaiah prophesied, would be the Prince of Peace, the Ruler of Peace. As Lord and King, He'll bring peace to a troubled world. But it will take Christ here to get the world to be in peace. He will bring judgment upon the Antichrist and his empire, and Satan will be chained in hell during his kingdom. And then, and only then, Isaiah says in chapter 2, verse 4, "Then they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and they shall not make war anymore." That's quoted again in the book of Micah, chapter 4, and verse 1 through 3. "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So when Christ rules and reigns, the world can be at peace. The United Nations has the verse from Isaiah printed on their sign at their headquarters of the United Nations. But you see, they think they will be the agent to bring peace to the world. But that is a foolish dream on their part. Until Christ rules and reigns upon this earth, man will not be able to accomplish that kind of peace. Now, Jesus gave peace to His disciples. He said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you." He tells us that the Holy Spirit bears the fruit of peace in all who are believers. Galatians tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And there are 9 graces that the Holy Spirit produces through all of us. It is not that one of us is a tomato plant and another is an apple tree. These fruits of the Spirit are produced through each and every one of us. And God would have us to use that to be peacemakers and not troublemakers. We saw in Ephesians 2 that Christ made peace possible because of His cross. But there is a menace to peace, and that menace is sin. In James chapter 4, James 4 and verse 1 through 4, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now the Bible teaches us that there is no peace in men, and so they make war one with another. They have desires to obtain, and so they kill to gobble up land, to gobble up value. Nations do that all the time. When Saddam Hussein was reigning in power, he came into Kuwait because he owed Kuwait a lot of money and he wasn't making the payments. And so he went there to conquer Kuwait to take their wealth and to not have to pay back what he owed to them. Make war with the lust that they have. Men make war because they're at war with themselves and they're at war with God, so they make war with other people. There is no peace to them that know not the Lord. Men's desires are fueled by the temptations of Satan and his demons. They work on men with their flesh and desires, and they cause men to think on things they want and desire to the point that then their will yields to that desire and they try to do what their thoughts have brought. In James 3 and verse 13, who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Christ said, I want my people to be peacemakers. And God would have us to live for Him and obey His word. But God wants us in being peacemakers not to be those that cause the troubles of the world. We have all seen that happen in many situations. Next, there is the minister of peace. We are to be God's peacemakers. You are given a status with God as an ambassador if you know Christ as your Savior. You've been cleansed of your sin. You've been given a duty to make peace with other people and help them make peace with God. Over in the book of Titus, chapter 3, and verse 1 through 8. Titus 3, verse 1 through 8. Paul writes to Titus, a minister, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we were in the pits of darkness before we were saved. And we found a way out because of the light of the gospel. And now we are to be light bearers to show the way to those others that are in the same predicament we were in before we got saved. The Father hath bestowed His love upon us. Christ came to the Jewish nation, but they received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. A peacemaker has made peace with God, first of all. He has been reconciled to God by the washing away of his sins through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then he is to be a witness for Christ and make peace with others with the Lord. We're to be bridge builders to the unsaved world that they might come to God. We're to be peacemakers to help them understand the peace of God. We are to be reconcilers because we've been reconciled to God. Now we're to help others to be reconciled to God, whether they're Jew or Gentile, male or female, or regardless of their language and ethnicity, they can be saved through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If God's our Father, then through Christ, we have been rescued from sin, and we need to see the unsaved world like men in the ocean drowning, that somebody can save them if they will go to them. I remember the story. Ira actually brought me a hat after I told that story one day about the USS Indianapolis in World War II, after they had delivered the parts of the bomb to an island. Tinian and Delay, they took the parts there for the Hiroshima bomb. It was all secret. And they delivered those parts, and then as they turned around and headed back, they were in the ocean out from the Philippines, and a Japanese sub put two tornadoes into the USS Indianapolis, and it broke in half and went down very rapidly. And it lost many men. But about 600 men went into the ocean, and only 300 and something were rescued, because it was many days, because the message didn't get to the people, to get to the men to save them. And so they floated around out there getting eaten by sharks and drowning and dying from their wounds and all of that sort of thing. Can you imagine that young pilot who flew over them and saw all this group strewn out over a long period there of hundreds of men in the ocean and bodies that may have still been floating? That sight would be haunting. And it ought to be haunting to us who've been saved if we don't speak up and help rescue those that need the Lord. They're like men drowning in the ocean. They cannot save themselves. Let them help themselves, some will say. You can't help yourself to God without coming through Christ and a witness and the Word of God. And so it's our job to rescue those that are lost. Often people who've survived a great tragedy establish a kinship with one another. Those who've served in the military often feel comfortable going to the VFW or the American Legion or somewhere like that and being around people where they have experienced similar things that they have experienced. Sometimes it's great tragedies that the survivors will get together and have remembrance of those that were lost. I still go to my high school reunions, and I've been out of high school for 50 years. And I still go to the high school reunions. And every year they would put up pictures from the annual of all those who they know have passed away. And I remember at our 25th reunion, there were over 50 who had died that graduated from high school with us. There were over 600 in our graduating class. And time and health and circumstance of life, many of them have passed away. But you feel some kinship with those people that you grew up with, that you went to school with. Some of those people, I went to three different schools with them, elementary school and junior high and high school. And a couple of them, I even went to York Tech with them also. And we had some things in common. We could get together. Well, we need to get together as believers and rescue those that are lost. Joshua wrote in Joshua 24, he told the people, you cannot play games with God. If you're going to serve the Lord, serve the Lord. And if you're not, then go serve the idols that the people here serve. And the people said, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua's life, and all the days of the elders of Israel that outlived Joshua, they served the Lord. Brothers and sisters obeying together. They had peace with God and peace with man. The Bible says that God can make even our enemies to be at peace with us if we walk upright in God's sight. What are you looking for today in your life and your family? Are you looking for peace or are you looking for a fight? You can find either one, but only through Christ can you find peace with God. Make sure you have that peace. We're available to you if you need to know how to be saved. We'll be glad to meet with you and share the gospel message and show you what it means to be saved and how you can pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. We're available to you, and we're available right now as we have a verse played on the piano. We invite you, if you'd like to come, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved this morning. Father, bless your people for their faithfulness in being here, we pray. Thank you, dear God, for the peace that passes all understanding that you have granted to those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to be peacemakers. Help us to see the lost dying and undone and on their way to hell, and we may be able to step between them and that awful place with just the message and the light that shows the way out of darkness. Help us to be burdened to do that, and bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.